How's that? Thank you, Brother Dave. That's a good job. Yeah, I'd been praying for Brother Joe and Miss Sandy in that heat. They had some air conditioning, but they finally got it in. I said, well, how's it going? She said, well, it's fixed everything but the whining. I said, well, you don't want this whiner to freeze up on you. I mean, you got to keep it operating on something. Anyhow, that was a good one, Miss Sandy. Good job. Good job. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking in St. John chapter number 4, in the book of St. John chapter number 4. And as we look there in the chapter and you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll look there in that chapter. But for our text verse, let's back up to chapter number 3, verse number 35 and verse number 36. Now the Father loveth the Son. And he says, let's back up to verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I want you to look at that. If you're here this morning, you believed on the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, and how good that it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at here this morning, I want to preach to you for a little while on he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's either going to be everlasting life or everlasting wrath or damnation, if you please. When you sit here and you listen to the word of the Lord over and over again, if it doesn't make you better, it's finally going to make you bitter. God comes knocking at your heart's door, and he's ready to convert you. He's paid the price. He's paid the sin debt. In fact, is that you'll find that when the Lord Jesus Christ would cry out unto the Heavenly Father, nevertheless, not my will, he said, but thy will be done. And the will of the Father was that his only begotten Son pay the sin debt for you and I, and all humanity. Now, if you're not saved, that means you're rejecting, or you have yet refused, or you have yet said no to the only way that God will give you everlasting life. My question is, what is it you're waiting for, and what are you thinking about? In the next part of this whole chapter that's here, in chapter number 4, you'll find that Jesus had gone there in the face of adversity. There's Pharisees that have heard him. And as a result, there are those that criticized him, that made fun of him. And yet you'll find that he had a reason to be able to go to Samaria. He met a woman that was there that was waiting till about noontime to come and draw water because she was ashamed of how she lived and ashamed for all the nasty looks that other women were giving her when she would go there in the middle of the day to avoid them. If she went in the morning, there was a lot of people. Couldn't you hear them whispering? There's that woman over there just whoring around with people. And let me say to you that, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of all the people that he could have went and met, and did you ever notice whenever God got ready and he seen a multitude of people, he'd go to one man. He knew exactly the one. Unlike Billy Graham, who had to have a ball stadium and a whole football field of altars so people could go, Jesus would walk up to one person. That's something, isn't it? You know, the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you right now, is that the question has been asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said, it's impossible with man, but not impossible with God. Now, I'll say that whenever you begin to look into this lesson this year, you'll find this woman is that the Lord Jesus Christ is gone there specifically and particularly for her. Here you are this morning, you're in the house of God, And let me tell you, is that you'll sit and it'll just be another service till one day God comes knocking on your heart's door. And out of all the people that are in the building, God has singled you out. I remember whenever there were some of you that God had singled out. I remember some of you talking to me personally. Some of you talking to me by phone. Some of you talking to me and began to tell me, I don't know, preacher, what's wrong, but God's been trying to tell me something in my heart. You're getting ripe for picking. Now, whenever it comes that time, you can either receive or you can reject him. It means he's not going to make you. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that what this woman did is that Jesus was sitting there at Jacob's well, and he was sitting there, and he was waiting on this one woman to be able to show up there to be able to draw water for her household, for her family. And as she's sitting there, he begins a conversation with her. You remember when you got saved, God began a conversation with you? I mean, I used to sit there under conviction, the conversation going in my heart. I was thinking, no doubt, Lord, there's somebody on the pew that you're trying to get their attention. And let me say to you that, if you will, that it was me he was getting my attention. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, it's the reason why we live in a world that's religious but lost and undone without God. They've never had God to single them out and approach them with a conversation about eternity and about their soul's condition. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved here this morning, you need for the Lord to talk to you personally in your heart about your need for Christ. Do you not know that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, whatever it said, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white like snow or white like wool. I want to say that person never gets saved until the conversation begins. And by the way, it's not a conversation that begins with a soul winner. It's a conversation that begins with Christ. I do all the stories from beginning to end. I knew how to quote Romans 10, 9 through 13. I knew how to be able to teach in a class. I knew how to be able to lead a song. I knew how to be able to worship in spirit and truth, or at least with those that had spirit and truth. I knew what it was like to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I knew what it was like, buddy, to be in the house of God and have God pounding, pounding, pounding upon my heart until finally God began a conversation with me. It's not what he said, but it's in essence, it ain't your sister, it ain't your brother, it's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. In the lesson that we're looking at, not only that, he began to talk to me about my soul's condition. He began to trouble me about it. I got so troubled about it, when I'd drive down the road going to work, I'd see a big church, I'd look another direction. That's just how bad it was. It didn't matter what kind of church building that it was. It just reminded me of the church of the living God. And somehow I was on the run from God. I want to say that whenever I got born into the family of God like this woman did, is that it was kind of the same thing. My life wasn't as messed up as hers, but I was going as straight to hell as she was. There was a controversy that the woman brought up. Did you know that? When you begin to look into there, he asked her for a drink of water. In fact, as you'll find out, whenever he said in verse number 7 of chapter number 4, he said to the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. You know, there's another time that he asked for a drink. It was on the cross. He said, I thirst. But he didn't get it. He didn't get it. They brought him vinegar. Whenever he asked her for a drink, she wants to argue. That's what happens to many people sitting around. They want to kind of argue about, you know. Well, I tell you this, I go to church. Well, I'll tell you this, I'm as good as anybody else in that church house is. What do you tell people whenever they say that? I always tell them, you're probably better. I know some people that are real. But that's not going to get you out of hell and cause you to be able to go to heaven. There's people, you know, that'll tell you, well, I've been baptized. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. There's others that'll tell you, well, I sang in the choir. I've sung some special music. I got to tell you, dear friend, is that when God goes to knocking on your heart, there's going to be some controversy that's going to arise with you in the flesh, and you're going to give all the excuses you've got, but it's not going to make you feel any better. Here's what I know to you, that she was kind of racist, and she despised the Jews. She's Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile, and she said the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And she knew that somehow or another that he's disturbing her to no end. I notice another thing that in verse number 10, it doesn't matter how much controversy you bring up, there's a compassion and a love, the love of Christ, that'll constrain you. You know, she's wanting to fight with God. He's wanting to give her forgiveness. And let me say to you that whenever he begins to tell her about the great gift, if thou knewest the gift of God, you'd never have to leave in the condition that you're in. You'd never have to be able to have just this water here that makes you thirst again. God will give you something lasting for all eternity. He would give you living water. Now she's curious about this water. You know, that's the reason people die and go to hell. They never have a curiosity about what God and His Word had to say. You remember all them times you came to church? You fiddled around with this or that songbook, your phone, or just thought about tomorrow, thought about everything, but except what the present hour was offering. And wouldn't it be sad you died and dropped off into hell listening to the preaching of the Word of the Lord? Well, this woman, she finally, her curiosity, and she wanted to know where the water comes from. She said, "Sir, quick, give me this water that I never thirst again and that I don't have to come here to be able to draw anymore." Now, I want to tell you something. Whenever he begins to speak to her, she's looking from the physical standpoint, and she doesn't want to have to whatsoever be able to come there and be looked at anymore like she's had looks in days gone by them other women. And God begins to deal with her heart. Now, I want you to watch in verse number 18 and 19 is that she says, "Quick, give me this water." And you know what the average Baptist preacher would have done? "Well, bow your head, honey, and repeat this prayer." That's not what he done. Do you realize to know that she was going to have to face herself? She was going to have to face her sins? And when she said, "Give me this water," he said, "Go call thy husband." Now, you know, a lot of Baptists will help you out a whole lot. I've got somebody here that's a real renegade sinner. They've been married 9 times. And by the way, try not to say nothing about it if you can help it. Jesus said, "Quick, I want you to call thy husband." And she said, no doubt shamedly, "I have no husband." And he said, "In that thou sayest right, thou have no husband. Thou hast had 5 husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband." She was just living out of wedlock with a man. That's where we're at in America. I can't tell you how many men that I tried the marriage thing. I didn't work. Now I'm just gonna live with them. And when I get ready to depart, just buy them a house and give it to them. Yeah. That's why you need to marry right. If you marry left, she better be right. She said unto him, "I want this water." But see, she wanted it for a selfish reason. God's begin to deal with her conscience. And he says, "Call your husband." She said, "I have no husband." "In that thou sayest, I have no husband, thou hast rightly said, because thou hast had 5 husbands, and now he whom thou hast is not thy husband." Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out there was a conversion experience. She begins to point out and all of that. is that when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us these things. He explained to her about worship. Hey, by the way, this woman was a worshiping woman. She just didn't know the Lord. How many people have you ever talked to and said, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I go to church some. Hey, there's been a lot of people that went to worship that did not know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Remember Lydia? She went to the prayer meeting there on the riverbank. Remember that? And as a result of that, you'll find out that while she was there and the Apostle Paul begins to preach to her, and all of a sudden she comes to realize and know her name, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she better get washed by the blood, born again into the family of God. Make no mistake about it, dear friend, is that there's only one way that you can ever be born into the family of God, and it's by the blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what he done for this woman, what he done for other women, he'll do for you and I, buddy. If we'll come as an empty-handed beggar and be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, notice that, if you will, please, there's obviously a conversion experience take place. Look in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. She left what she had been trusting in. What are you trusting in? Some people are holding on to their church membership. Well, I have you to know right now that this is where I go to church. This is where I've been always going to church. And if I've got to leave that church to be able to go to heaven, then I'm just going to have to go to hell. And that's what you're going to do. When you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find you'll either come God's way or you won't be able to get to heaven and get born again. I begin to see something about that, and I begin to notice that, is that you'll find that whenever she comes to know the Lord, she left her water pots and what she had been trusting in. And as a result of that, she went in verse number 29 and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, let me say in closing that, if you will, please, that she had a testimony that other people could see. You're going to find out is that we live in a day and an hour. People get some crazy ideas, crazy, you know, just, I mean, they're as crazy as an outhouse rat. I was at a game one time several years ago. I can't remember if it was watching a church member. I mean, it had to be a church member because I wasn't playing ball and all that. But anyhow, I was listening, and there was a young man, and he had his hair way down here, about halfway of his back, and he was talking about needing a job. And he said, well, I tell you one thing, I'll go down there and sign up and see if I can get interviewed for it, but they need not want me to cut my hair. I thought, what an idiot you must be. You're willing to starve to death, let your family starve to death, lose everything you got because of the locks of your hair. Has that been your greatest life's accomplishment, is growing long hair? I generally ask some of them, you know, and I'll say, hey, let me ask you something here. I noticed that you got that earring, that long hair and this and that and all of that right there. Are you, what does that mean? Well, Grandpa told me that when you get your ear pierced, it either means that you're queer or it means that you're a pirate. I said, I see. And do you have a ship? That's true. I want to say to you that, if you will, whatever excuse that you may bring before God, you'd better ditch it. She left her water pot and came to him. I mean, you know, she could have done like the average man. Well, I knew you was going to say that before I ever come down there and all that about my five husbands. Yeah, browbeat me to death. And I'm just living. I'm trying to make a living. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. She was condemned, and God granted her repentance, and she was sorry for who she was, how she lived. And she went into town. There's a lot of men knew her. And let me just tell you right now, just because she'd been married five times doesn't mean that's all the fooling around that went on. I mean, there ain't no telling how many. I got to tell you something, that God went specifically for this woman that you and I might have would have passed up. What are you doing witnessing to that old hag for? biggest road whore in town. Now, by the way, fellas, that's not giving you an excuse to go witnessing to road whores. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I had a woman or two that, you know, I made a statement and said, look, if I made a statement sort of like this right here. You know, if you're a red-blooded American man and all your plumbing works, you need to shy away from people that are not your spouse and speak in a limited, open fashion, blah, 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 because temptation, especially with the way women dress now. There's not a red-blooded American man in here that if you're wearing a low-cut dress and you've got both your bosoms that are about to shine, and I'm not talking about anybody here this morning. Everybody looks all right, pretty much an all right right there. But let me just tell you, if you're one and there just looks like any minute one of them could bounce out, every red-blooded American man is hoping for the best. I have you to know, the woman said, I have you to know my husband's not like that at all. She told me that right before he ran off with somebody else's wife. I'm not just telling you that that's all right, and I'm not telling you that you can't overcome, and I'm not telling you that you ought not to take the second look and then all of a sudden, you know, go to slobbering, your eyes watering, and one of your eyes one way and the other. I'm just trying to tell you that reality, dear friend, when he said to that woman, call thy husband. That's exactly what was standing between her and the Lord. And she came to know Christ in the free pardon of sin, went into the city and said, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Now, I'll tell you, I don't care where you've been, how far down in the gutter that you've been, God's grace and God's mercy can reach farther down than you'll ever be able to reach up. And let me tell you, it don't make any difference what the subject is. You know, we live in the day of beer-drinking, dope-smoking Baptists. They're not born again. They're not washed by the blood, but they feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. Jesus said to that woman here, here's where your problem's at. Go call your husband. God's going to deal with you personally what stands between you and real God-given salvation. Is he speaking to your heart, knocking upon your heart's door? Do you know many believed on the Lord because of her saying? And then many came to hear him themselves and believed on the Lord then. I got to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, there is a manifested change that takes place in your life. Do you know that I know some people that have told me, oh yeah, I'm saved, preacher, really? Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen it in you. I mean, you're thinking that. I've never seen it. You know, because when you get saved, there's a manifested change. You know, when I got saved, I was such a good boy, good young man, good man. Sometimes just calling my wife and ask her to tell you what a good man I am. But I was going just as straight to hell as I could go. And let me tell you right up front, is that I had people that told me when I found out I'd got, well, then surely you didn't need to get saved. That's how good I was. I'm talking about honest. I'm talking about up front. I'm talking about clean as a whistle. But I was just as lost as the dirtiest person you can think of on the face of this earth. And when I got saved, there was a manifested change took place in my life. Hey, by the way, and I'm done. When you got saved, there's a manifested change in your life since the day you got born again. I wonder this morning, maybe you're here and God's been tugging at your heartstrings. What about it, young man? What about it, young lady? Some of you boys and girls are getting big enough. God's beginning to trouble you. God's beginning to speak to you. God's beginning to make you ask some questions. What is it exactly that you want from the Lord? Wouldn't you like to miss hell and make heaven? Wouldn't you like to trust him as your Lord and Savior? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed while our musicians are coming. Our song director. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Walk down that aisle. Come tell me I'm wanting to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm anxious for the Lord to save me. When you confess with your heart, with all of your heart, God will save your soul. Our Father, as we get ready to sing the invitation song, Thou Knowest Every Need, I pray that, Lord, you'd meet that need according as their faith and their hope and their trust be in Thee. And Lord, I pray you'd move now upon us and within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
Page 375.
375. If you need to come, come quickly while we sing.